Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Well, March Madness is upon us, and I'm sure the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, is all over the brackets. He's probably picking every team he can from the Midwest, and he's all involved and all up in it. Maybe he is anyway. So he joins us to talk about maybe March Madness, but probably more important things in D.C. Did you fill out a bracket?
No, but I watched the president. You know, you talk about March Madness. They ought to put Bibi Netanyahu and Barack Obama on a basketball court and let them play one-on-one.
I love it.
Not on that one.
No kidding. So was this a kind of in-your-face that Netanyahu won re-election now for the fourth time? Because, of course, there's all kinds of reports. Do you think the White House would have preferred that he didn't win, even though, of course, they're not going to say that?
I think they would have preferred it. Look, I don't think these two like each other, Netanyahu and President Obama. I don't think they ever have. It's been chilly. You know, our countries are close, but then again, leaders make a difference. And the way that Netanyahu came to the United States, the way the Israeli ambassador went around the White House's back, which they didn't need to do, this was so in your face. And then Netanyahu used that for his election. He actually had pictures of the Congress, which, by the way, you're not allowed to use pictures if you're a congressman on your ads, of the Congress floor. And then he reversed himself on the Palestinian state. But the thing the White House had to respond to, Kate, they had to. If they wouldn't have, we have an African-American president, and he's our president, but he's African-American. And he had to respond to the fact that Netanyahu stood there and said, ooh, Israeli Arabs are voting. I mean, that would be like somebody running for the United States Senate who is white saying, oh, by the way, African-Americans are voting. You got to do something.
Can you imagine?
This is, 100 years ago, and Netanyahu was criticized horribly, called racist over in Israel. So, the White House, rightfully so, had to say that you don't disenfranchise groups, no matter who they are. So.
Is there ever going to be a two-state solution?
Well, no, that's the other thing. Netanyahu won the battle, but he may have lost the war because I think, really, that there's a deal within days on Iran, first of all, and that might have been helped by actually Netanyahu's interference more than it hurt it. The other thing is that the White House may very well have to, for the first time, support a UN resolution declaring lands and declaring a Palestinian state, because if Netanyahu reversed himself, they always talk about a Palestinian state. When you have millions of people and not all are terrorists, you have to, and you want to negotiate, how do we then turn and say, okay, we'll sit down with the Israelis and the Palestinians when the prime minister doesn't believe ever in a Palestinian state of any type?
Mm.
That's a problem. So it may put pressure, Everybody's talking about whether the president calls Netanyahu or not. It's way, way above that now. Things have been stated in this election that are going to be very difficult to work with.
Can you compare that to any other leader who had had a falling out with, I'm sure there's been plenty, but one that would be on the same level as Bibi and Obama?
Bush's father. George Bush, I always say that 41, because people, don't remember it's G.H. Bush, George Walker, Herbert Walker. But President Bush's father was in a bad situation with Israel and Israel with him. I mean, it was not good. And then along came Saddam Hussein's invasion of Iraq, and we had mutual interests, which happens. And I'm not saying our two countries are going to have a divorce, but the two leaders are not in a very good communicative style. And again, this new wrinkle of the Palestinian state puts President Obama, which he has a different opinion, that there's got to be some form of a place, of a land, so you could have passports and travel and school and things like that. puts them at odds. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no kidding. That's another one of those just bird dogged. All right, speaking of bird dogging, I know that you are completely crazy about your friend John Boehner being the Speaker of the House for however long he's been the Speaker of the House. But now there's this report that's surfacing about Jim Jordan, the congressman, saying that he doesn't want to be the next Speaker, but they might draft him anyway. So I guess, and I checked with somebody in D.C., and they said, oh, yeah, when you're out there on, they called it the drinking circuit, that's one of the names that comes up, meaning, you know, all the gossip in Washington after hours.
Yeah, I was on that circuit for a while. Then I said I wanted to be Speaker, and I was going to run against Boehner, and that wasn't a good thing to do. So,
do you think it's him?
Oh, I think that he would have a lot of support. Look, John Boehner had a historic amount of votes against him for a sitting Speaker, historic. And there are a lot of people in the House, and nobody wants to talk about this because they don't want to do it, but there are a lot of people in the U.S. House that are sitting there having somebody in the wings just in case because of the fact that, you know, Boehner is just, he's on thin ice.
Yeah, thin ice is a good way to put it. Absolutely. All right, speaking of thin ice, we can't get enough Hillary conversation. Now apparently she's disappeared and there's conversation about, well, look at the beauty pageant of the Republicans that are all dispersed out, especially today, whether it's in New Hampshire or Iowa or South Carolina, playing the greatest hits, testing the waters. And now the question is, when is she going to declare? Where is Hillary? Do you think she's pushed back that timetable because of the email flap?
Well, I think maybe a little bit, but I think she's just, I don't know, I think she's got to declare because otherwise it looks like she's pushing it back because of the email flap. And I think she has because of the email flap. In fact, if she had announced it before, it would have even made it more political what the Republicans are doing. I mean, they brought out this fact today about, excuse me, she didn't have this simple little device that stops what's called phishing, you know, where fake emails go out. She didn't have that. That doesn't really stop anything. I mean, you can have that device on there. So, you know, you're starting to read these stories that are like, oh, they're just dissecting the server. Not what she kept or didn't keep, but how her server operates. I mean, this thing's endless.
Yeah.
I think her only salvation is that when she gets to the committee, the Republicans, if they mishandle it and just start beating her up because she is Hillary Clinton, I think that works to her favor. If she gets through this in a general election, Jeb Bush has email trouble and Scott Walker has email trouble.
Yeah, there's a lesson in this. You have to go back to the Stone Age if you're in politics. Do not email. Send up smoke signals instead.
Yeah, don't even have a device, you know. Don't even have one.
Yeah, I agree. Don't even have one. You know, the whole server thing, too. Will they really, can they collect her server, or will there be like a fire accident, or they lost it, or I don't know. Can they really take her server?
Well, they'd have to go to court, or they'd have to subpoena the server. One would say, why are they not subpoenaing the server?
That's what I would say.
I think they're afraid to, because, you know, it is a private server. She did follow the rules. She did transfer things to be archived. So I just think that, I think the Republicans are afraid to say, we're subpoenaing your server. That if something leaked out that's private, you know, about her family or something, you know, they would be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's part of that, I think. So there is more to it, and that's probably why that's not happening. Bob Ney, what a fun segment. Thanks, as always. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that it's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
About with the Ukraine, and it seems like we've been talking about it forever. It's been over a year, and this back and forth in Russia and the teasing, and are they, what are they doing? And they're just trying to make sure that they're protecting the Russians, and there's aggression and blah, 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 nonsensical, crazy, stupid storylines. Vladimir Putin wants to wrap his arms around every piece of the Ukraine. He can. We know it. He's on a massive land grab. There's no question about that. And that's why he's dancing around in different areas. That's why they annexed the Crimea. That's what happened there. So the U.S. is now, the word comes that, and this is official, that the U.S. is training 750 Ukrainian troops because of how much they've ramped up their aggression, the Russians. These so-called snap exercises. And like I said, it's been 1 year since the anniversary of annexing the Crimea. And the EU leaders say they're not going to lift sanctions on Russia until the Ukraine peace deal is implemented. I think there may be a better chance in the near future that I could develop some of that swamp land in Florida. I mean, really. It's sort of like this got pushed off to the side, certainly not for the people of the Ukraine, and there are plenty in the United States who have family ties to that area, especially in the Northeast, in New York, in the Bronx, and up and down that coast, really, even into New England, because of what's gone on in other areas, I think, like the focus on the Middle East, the focus on Iran, and this treaty, and all of that, that the Ukraine and what's happened in the Ukraine, every once in a while, the head pops up and it's like whack-a-mole and there's a quick conversation about it. And there's a blur or a blast of, oh, Vladimir Putin and what are we going to do? And what about oil? And what about the Europeans and the little fine dance that they're doing? But this has been happening, folks. I mean, nothing has stopped the craziness of, remember, the plane that was shot out of the sky? And, oops, so sorry, we really don't know the specifics of that. Russia really put their clamps on it. So the inspectors and others didn't even get near the site till weeks afterwards. So certainly you know that was Russian rebels, right? So now what? I mean, what are the answers? What are the answers there? What are the answers? Certainly not to let up on the sanctions, but it's interesting, the training of the troops to try to help the Ukraine to be able to ward off the Russians, because there's no question that Vladimir Putin would just love to grab every little nook and cranny that he can. If you look at a map of Russia and you look at, it's about territory. It's about testosterone and territory. Oh, of course it is. Read anything about Russian history. That has not changed. Not with Vladimir Putin. Certainly not. Meanwhile, we seg from that to Benjamin Netanyahu insisting that there's no flip-flopping on the Palestinian state. Netanyahu saying a peace agreement must be negotiated, not imposed. He doesn't want it thrown down his throat because he's not going to stand for that as the ongoing prime minister. But the standoff, the heat, the dislike between Obama and Netanyahu had to have grown deeper despite his little clarification as he addressed that during the day on Thursday. That doesn't change that relationship, because there's no question the White House wanted Netanyahu to go down. Wanted him to go down. And thought that that was going to happen. And I wonder if I could be a fly on the wall. And every day I think about this. If there's one conversation I could hear every day, I don't know why. And maybe it's because of the secrecy of the politics and the story behind the story. When you really peel back the layers, I would love to hear the president unplugged and his thoughts, just free-flowing stream of consciousness on Netanyahu and this Palestinian situation, and really the election and what the Republicans did. Because I think that beyond what we've heard, I think it goes deeper than that. I think that maneuver to bring Netanyahu over and Netanyahu standing with the conservatives really hacked off the press. And if anything, he wanted to be able to throw it back in their face, seriously. I mean, that's politics. And be able to subtly say, not this time around. Not happening this time around. So isn't it interesting that Netanyahu comes out and says and clarifies, oh yeah, this negotiation is still going to take place. I'm not flip-flopping on what's happening there, only the day before the election, so that I could get enough people on board. But he insisted that he didn't reverse his campaign pledge earlier in the week, and that he wouldn't support a two-state. When he said he wouldn't support a two-state solution, rather, he said yes about negotiating it. So he's trying to clarify that. He said he didn't retract any of the things that he said in his speech 6 years ago calling for the solution where you demilitarized the Palestinian state and recognized the Jewish state. But that the conditions now are not achievable because the leader of the Palestinians, Netanyahu says, rejects the acceptance of a Jewish state. I mean, hey, he rejects it. He's made a pact with a Palestinian terrorist organization, Hamas, and yes, he has. No matter what you think of Netanyahu, absolutely. I mean, that's fairly obvious when you look at the chessboard to figure that out. and Hamas wants to destroy Israel. So the sands keep shifting in the Middle East, and they have changed, where any territory Israel says that they withdraw from is immediately gobbled up by ISIS. And Netanyahu says Iranian-backed terrorists, or by ISIS. And he says that he is against, or is cautioning against, the prospect of any kind of an agreement that would allow Iran to maintain 6,000 nuclear centrifuges, which he says would enable them to break out a bomb very quickly. And I agree. So I know there's those that say, who cares? Who cares? Let them have. I said this a couple times, and all of you know this. Congressman Ron Paul, retired. I liked him. I liked him because he was a rebel. He had some great ideas. Some people thought he was kooky and pegged into the red in some senses. I don't agree with everything he said. And the one thing I didn't agree with was he had the mindset of, so what? Let him develop it. It's not our business. Stay out of it. I don't agree with that. There is sometimes, after all, we have sacrificed in being the world's big bad cop and everybody leaning on us when it's convenient. There's some things that we don't want to let slip out of whatever control, seemingly, because we never have control, but seemingly that we have. And this situation in Iran, you allow enough of those centrifuges, you now allow enough nuclear material to flourish, and trust me, the wrong person who does not care about humanity, does not care in any sense of the word about people, will easily pick a target and maybe make it look like it's somebody else, and then it's too late to put that genie back in the bottle. I wasn't born in the duck and cover age when people were kids and they had to do those drills in school, because that was the thought. We have communism, there's nuclear possibilities, so we have duck and cover. You have to know about this. There are XYZ bomb shelters of where one could go. I was born after that era, but I certainly know the tales of it in talking to family members, that it was just something you assumed. Oh, the commies, there's that possibility. Well, the possibility would be even worse, and multiply that, if the Iranians have too much nuclear material, and it's because of the people really behind and around that country. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, some odds and ends. How you doing on your brackets? Anybody have a good day? Oh, some lousy finishes that were really close that went the wrong way for me. Hang with us here in America Tonight.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hoop. So College Hoop, 100 million people fill out the brackets. Yes, it's true. Whether they're really into College Hoop or not, they're doing it. Whether it's to bet against, be competitive against their cubicle mate or whatever the reason is, people are really pulled in to, you know, to what has become really super huge, to say the least. March Madness. And there were some wild finishes on this first day. And it's interesting because there were several radio stations that had me on today. I think I was on 10 shows earlier in the morning talking about March Madness. And I was asked about tips for brackets. And funny enough, most of the tips I gave, in fact, all the tips I gave, came true, except for one. And when I looked at what happened with some of the Texas teams, and some of you might be shaking your head because you did the bracket thing, I'll just quickly tell you, one of the craziest, I think, finishes was Baylor and Georgia State. A three-pointer from a guard named R.J. Hunter for Georgia State. Picture this. He pulls up, sets up, hits the shot up in the air. 2.6 seconds in the game. The crowd holding its breath. And the Panthers with the 57-56 stunning victory over the Baylor Bears in the round of 64. That is a tough way to lose the game. That's why they call it March Madness. On the edge of your seat, that stunning win, that one-second shot. That's why people watch March Madness, because sometimes that's the kind of finishes that you get. For others who are merely filling out brackets, they might have picked on the wrong side of it. And I filled out a couple brackets, and of course, in one of them, I have family members that went to Baylor, and they can't tell me enough how great Baylor is and their sports teams and their programs and, you know, everything else. So some of the other finishes included Notre Dame in a much tighter game than I thought. They beat Northeastern 69-68. I'm giving you these numbers as a courtesy because so many of you asked me for the numbers. Really, you asked me something political, then threw in what were the scores in March Madness, and then threw out an opinion. But we'll get to the mailbag in another portion of the show. So I'm just going to tell you that Notre Dame wins. Butler beats Texas 56-48. Both of those games, of course, were in the Midwest division. Cincinnati and Purdue tangled. And this was an incredible finish, too. I picked Cincinnati, and Cincinnati won. But you know what the score was? 66-65. Kentucky, the team that will win it all, go undefeated and has no equal, slammed Hampton. But of course they would. I mean, that was like the lamb to the slaughter. So 79-56 was the final there. Villanova, the other team I like to get to the finals, they smashed Lafayette 93-52. North Carolina State in a stunner over LSU. In one bracket I had, I picked North Carolina State. I couldn't decide. I literally flipped a coin, and LSU loses by a point, 66-65. And then we go further down in our bracket, and you find Utah beating Stephen F. Austin, although that wasn't an easy task either. It changed at the end of the game, 57-50. Georgetown, I was surprised by this because this is the one game I thought Eastern Washington looked so good going into. I thought they'd beat them. They didn't. 65-51. UCLA stuns SMU. A kid's called for goaltending, and that makes the big difference for the Mustangs. Otherwise, that would have been a nice victory for the Mustangs. Instead, they lose. So 60-49, UCLA moves on. And then UAB, another close game, 60-59 over Iowa State. Oh, Iowa State. I love Fred Hoiberg's team. I know a lot of you are listening to us in Iowa, and I really like that team, but nope, didn't do it. I mean, so there you go. That's how it all finished up on day one. Oh, by the way, Georgetown and Eastern Washington, not final in the books. I want to make sure it's 65-52. So anything can happen with 6 minutes and change to go, but it's in the second half. But it's not looking good. I would love it if Eastern Washington pulled that off, because that's the direction that I went in. All right, so there you go. You're up to date. We didn't do any big, bad bracket challenges this time around because we had just come off of football, of course, and we've got the LPGA shootout, and we're giving away tickets and all kinds of things for that on our trivia question once or twice a week. So the focus is there. But I will definitely update you on the brackets because I had enough people that were interested to find out, you know, what happened during the day. Maybe you missed some of the games or, you know, whatever. All right, so felons. Here we go with the TSA. You know, you really sometimes it just depends. I just traveled, what was it, however long it was ago, to Washington, D.C. And I thought everybody was pretty pleasant. I didn't get any great shakedown, didn't have to empty things out. In fact, they just kind of pushed me through a line. I was surprised. I was like, okay, that sounds pretty good. But sometimes you get the wrong place, the wrong person, the wrong place, and it's like 20 questions and you don't understand why. So the TSA allowed somebody who was a convicted felon and a former member of a domestic terror group, boom, right through the TSA pre-check at an airport, they say, last summer, because, of course, there are statistics on this. And the Department of Homeland Security, specifically the Office of Inspector General, they do the report, said that the person traveling had been convicted for murder and other things that involved explosives. That's nice. It happened June 29th, and it created an aviation security breach. So that report, however, our favorite people, whistleblowers, that report was prompted by a whistleblower after checking the boarding pass and identification, and an alert transportation security officer at the airport recognized the felon and then said something to a supervisor. But the supervisor directed the officer to not do anything and allowed them to continue through. I mean, how stupid is that? They think that that's not going to raise a red flag, so there's your whistleblower. I pointed this out. They didn't do anything. He goes through. That is pretty vulnerable. Aren't we trying to stop those people? We're shaking down old women and men, women with children. Ugh, what they have to go through. Dump the kid out on the floor. They don't say that. But let's turn the strollers, everything else, upside down and do the TSA shuffle so everybody's flying around you and things are falling out all over the place. And this is no exaggeration because I see this all the time when I have traveled. But, okay, so somebody was smart and pulled it, you know, said, listen, look at this. But the supervisor says, go ahead. I mean, so they've got to do something with the whole pre-check thing. Right? Because if this guy's an expert in explosives, he is a known domestic terrorist. So that day he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't trying to pull a plane down or people down or whatever. But aren't those the kind of people that you would question? I mean, of course. That's a layer of security that we want. So I'm glad that the person had enough guts to say something because, you know, then they're going to get called out, the supervisor. They're certainly going to know what happened. They're certainly going to know the person that did that. I mean, it's easier to just go along and get along, right? But it's not very safe for the rest of us. I think that's the whole idea of what they're supposedly doing at the TSA, the first line of defense, if you will, although it's doesn't feel like the first line of defense. And whose fault is that? Because we don't, frankly, spend enough money on that area because we're just employing whoever we can employ. There are some good TSA people, but there are so many where that's not their gig. That's not their job. That's not their background. All right, this always frightens me, and maybe it's because I have spent, luckily, I've had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time in Hawaii. A 58-year-old man from Overland Park, Kansas, is recovering from a shark attack. He was on the Big Island, and the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, because they never like to talk about this, said he was bitten by a 12-foot tiger shark. He was snorkeling with his family, and he was treated to a hospital. He had cuts to his left forearm and an injury to his left thigh. I mean, these tiger sharks are brutal. So, of course, what do? People get hysterical. They closed, and they should. They closed down the park, and shark warnings get posted up along outside the park, and they're supposed to exercise caution when they go into the water. How do you exercise caution when there is a predator tiger shark that's 12 feet long who's swimming off the shores? How about, I don't think you can swim here. I don't think so. And they say if the shark is spotted, they're going to close it. Or then they'll reopen it. They're having a big problem in Hawaii, in Maui, and on the Big Island with tiger shark attacks and sightings. I mean, these unprovoked, some of them fatal attacks. And a lot of it happening there. Terrible. They can get up to 16 feet, too, by the way. Wow. Stay with us. Coming up next, let's journey to Mars.
freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The Freeze-Dry Guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The Freeze-Dry Guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
By now, you heard about Bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalMatch.com. That's FreeSurvivalMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalMatch.com today.
Who listens to America Tonight, or if you're a first-time listener just tuning in, I love exploration of space, especially when we talk about Mars. I've always been fascinated by Mars. So our pal Chris Carberry jumps on with us again. He's the executive director of Explore Mars, Inc. And I'll tell you what, if you go to exploremars.org, you can find out all kinds of really super cool things about Mars and about the countdown and the push to make it to that very, very cool planet. Chris, how are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Great to be on again.
You know, last time that we talked, one of the things that we were talking about is the Orion capsule and what was going to happen there, that test. So tell us about that, because that's significant since that's the plan to send us mere mortals to Mars, right?
Well, that's one of the first steps. You know, that the Orion capsule won't actually land on Mars. It's there to bring people back to Earth and do some other things in between, but it's one of the first steps that we have right now that's leading us on the path to Mars. We've been talking about it for many years, but we're finally building the hardware that's required to actually send folks to Mars in probably in the mid-2030s.
Mid-2030s. All right, so one of the things that people will ask, and you know, skeptics ask, well, why do we want to go to Mars? What are some of the things that we can learn from Mars? And the answer is a ton of different things that we can learn from Mars. So give us kind of the rundown to that.
Well, yeah, there is an awful lot. Now, first off, you know, it's, you know, one of the places where we can go, one of the few places that humans can actually go, where we can actually see if life has ever existed on another planet, whether it be past life or even the potential of current life. You know, Mars, you know, is a very interesting planet, so there's a growing body of evidence that Mars could have sustained life in the past, and a similar body of evidence that it may still. I mean, very recently, they announced the discovery of organics on Mars, as well as plumes of methane. And that doesn't confirm that there is life, but it certainly increases the probability that Mars could have sustained life or may still sustain life. Now we're talking about microbial life. We're not talking Marvin the Martian. But still, even the discovery of microbial life on Mars would be an extraordinary discovery.
Wow, no kidding.
Pretty darn exciting.
Yeah,
other reasons to go. It's also a place that humans can exist, or at least we think so, because we can, unlike the moon, well, we can live off the land to a degree on the moon, but on Mars there's an atmosphere, of course, but there's also water. And then there's quite a bit of water. You know, they found, you know, water ice. There's evidence of subsurface water. And so it's possible for humans, we think, to go and literally live off the land. They can obviously utilize the water. You know, they could create methane fuel and oxygen, utilizing both potentially the water, but also the CO2 atmosphere. So it's also a place that could sustain human life. And so that makes it extremely attractive. Unlike the moon, the moon is close, so that's an attractive feature in itself. But the moon also doesn't have an atmosphere and doesn't nearly have the sorts of resources that could sustain human life that Mars does. So
yeah,
that's another great reason. But frankly, and just the technologies required to go and the inspirational value, I think, is well worth the investment, particularly when it's such a small percentage of the federal budget.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what people sometimes don't realize. They just see a number and they have no idea that it's minuscule, really. When you compare the rest of the budget, there's no question about that.
It's less than half of 1% of the federal budget is what NASA incorporates. You know, generally when people are asked, and this is where sometimes the skepticism comes into play, when people are asked, oh, should we pay to go to Mars when there are problems with the budget, et cetera, but they're going under the assumption that NASA's budget's much higher than it actually is. You ask anyone, any general public on the street, what percentage of the federal budget, you'll often get numbers like 5 or 10%, which is many, many, many times more. And when you tell them the actual number, you'd be amazed how much more their enthusiasm level goes up. We did a scientific poll a couple years ago. The first question was, what percentage of the federal budget does NASA incorporate? And the average answer was about 2.5%. We only gave them up 6%. So, and then we gave them the answer, and the support for human exploration of Mars and Mars science was overwhelming, because I think when they understand the budgetary context, they realize, oh, we can afford this, and this is money well spent. And to be perfectly honest, we're going to spend roughly the same amount on NASA whether we go to Mars or not. So if we're going to spend the money on space exploration, why don't we spend that money as effectively and as ambitiously as possible?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You know, you sent me a bunch of really fascinating links, and people can always go on NASA.gov and get some cool updates on really, frankly, everything that's happening. But there's a lot of Mars conversation. And one of the things that I was reading about, and I think we've talked about this, but the fact that Mars Curiosity, the rover, measured a huge spike in methane, which of course is an organic chemical in the atmosphere around it, and it also came up with, or detected is a better way to say it, other organic molecules. Why is this significant?
Well, because organics are the building blocks of life. It doesn't mean there is life. But, you know, at least life that we know requires the organics. you know, the carbon and probably usually hydrogen. And so this is very, very significant. And particularly with the methane, you know, we don't know where the methane is coming from. You know, on Earth, there are two likely sources for methane. That's geological activity, meaning volcanoes and things like that, and life. Actually, the biggest producer of methane on Earth is cows. So there are probably not Martian cows, but we do not know where that methane is coming from. Although Mars used to be an extremely geologically active planet, has the biggest volcano in the solar system, but it has not been. We have not seen any evidence of current volcanic activity. There still could be reservoirs of methane within the body of Mars that get released periodically. But it could also be, you know, another theory is microbial life is creating the methane. But we don't know. But it's very intriguing. And it seems every few months we find something else just becomes more and more intriguing about this planet.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if we've ever discussed this or not, but I always find that there's a reason why someone has such a passion for whatever a particular project is, especially when we're talking about space. Because people embrace different aspects of it, and certainly Mars is your baby. Have you always been interested in, just in general, in space exploration?
I have, although my background is a little bit different. I was a poli-sci and history major originally, but I never, earlier on, when I was doing political history and political work, but I had always been interested in space, but I didn't know how to connect them. And then one day it just kind of clicked. I realized that the policy work is in many ways the most important part of it because, you know, we have great engineers, we have great scientists, but what usually stalls us from actually doing ambitious missions that last multiple years is policy. And so I always have been, but it was kind of great to be able to combine that policy background with space exploration to be able to help really push the message forward. And hopefully we can find a way to create a program that lasts more than a couple or more than one presidential term. That's actually the biggest challenge now, more than the engineering, more than the science, is being able to keep a program alive into the next administration, you know, because we have a tendency to start programs and a new guy comes in and then they hit the restart button to put their own fingerprint on the program, except the problem is, you know, when they do that, we often don't get anything done.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. So here's the thing. You know this, and I know we've talked about this. Do you have a lot of astronauts, you know, superstars? Because let's face it, they're rock stars. And when you have astronauts on board, whether they're older, recognizable astronauts or current up-and-comers, that always lends itself to getting people interested in a project, meaning the public. Do you have a lot of support from that community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably the most notable is Buzz Aldrin, of course. Mm. And Buzz Aldrin's been just pretty much devoting his life to getting humans to Mars lately. He has a book out that came out a couple of years ago on the topic, and he's still been going around the world, you know, advocating sending humans to Mars. And he'll be one of the speakers at our upcoming Humans to Mars conference in D.C. But we have other astronauts as well that have been extremely active and big advocates for sending humans to Mars. Is it every astronaut that's gone into space is an advocate? Probably not, but I'd say a huge percentage are. So we have a lot of support from the astronaut community.
Yeah, you got to love that. All right, anytime that you want to come on and give us some news or talk about Mars, we certainly want to do that. Chris Carberry, thank you so much, as always, for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.